Okay, there's Terry Savage, the syndicated financial columnist. And if you've got a question for her about your situation, 312-981-7200. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Wow. Lots going on. Where do we start?
Let's start with how well the markets are doing today.
I'm looking at that. Do you realize this has been an incredible quarter? We had a couple of bad days earlier this week.
Yeah.
But so far this quarter, the S&P is up about 10%, including today's gain. The NASDAQ so far this quarter up almost 9%, and the Dow up almost 5%. Those are the best first quarters for the Dow and S&P since 2019 and 2021. And we're not so far behind the gains of those first quarters. So pretty interesting. All kinds of horrible news to factor in. I mean, Fed stuff and international stuff. And yeah, here we are bumping up against all-time highs.
We were talking when the pandemic sort of had its anniversary in early March, all of the sort of milestones. Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, said that we've got COVID and the schools closed and everything happened. Anyway, we remembered that 4 years ago this month, the Dow was at 19,000. 19,000.
Yeah, it collapsed. Yeah, it was. It collapsed, which is the lesson. Don't chicken out if you've got, you know, the right allocation to stocks over the long run. Here we are, you know, 10,000 Dow points higher. Amazing. And interesting today, I was listening to the news.
20,000.
Yeah, 20,000, right, exactly. Sorry, 20,000. There goes my math. So almost a double since that panic day. And look at gold. Firmly now over 2,200, trading 2,212, 2,213. That's something really, really interesting. We don't watch foreign currencies very much. The Japanese currency, very weak. Why? If you're in Japan and you can move money, they have negative interest rates until just now. And the dollar, if you moved your money into dollars, look at the rates you can get still, you know, for 6 months, 5.3%.
Terry, I was talking to a money manager the other day about what his clients are doing. And I said, since the Dow's up 20,000 and people's retirement nest eggs are a little healthier, if he would advise them to start to pull back from equities, because almost certainly some sort of correction is coming. We can't ride this wave forever. What do you think about all of that?
What did your money manager say?
You can imagine. He prefer you to stay in equities, especially if your horizon is long enough.
Okay, so just what I said a minute ago, I never fail to give that caveat. Assuming you've got the right proportion in stocks. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. In my investing lifetime, I have lived through and sometimes chickened out a bit, I must admit, especially when I was younger and didn't understand. I've lived through three bear markets that each took the Dow, which is all I was following at the time, down more than 50%. But that's a factual thing. And several other bear markets that have taken the Dow down 20 or 30%. If you're young and you know to stick it out, which is, that's a big double pairing that's really important, then of course you ride it out. But if you are in retirement or close to retirement and you suddenly go, oh my God, we had X hundred thousand, we could be having half of that. That's how panics in bear markets are made. Now we have a greater proportion now of the investing public because of the longevity of 401k plans. Whoever thought you'd have over $1 million in your 401k, you know you're not an investment genius. Hey, yeah, the market did its work. We're at all-time highs. So how are you going to feel? That's why, I'll say this one more time, chicken money. It lets you ride out the ups and downs, even when the downs are really scary.
Terry, we were talking with you, the syndicated financial columnist, about people whose maybe retirement nest eggs are back to the number they think they need. Should they pull back, take money off the markets and put it in, a CD, a savings account?
That was what the point I was trying to make, John, when I mentioned chicken money. And you know what it reminded me of? It's an age thing. When I was younger, I had a real fight at Nutria High School with a history teacher, a philosophy course that we were taking, and we had to read Aristotle. And I just Googled this so I could get it exactly right. So here's what I remember the argument I had. Aristotle preached all things in moderation. And I was really angry with my teacher. I think it was Dr. Johnston. And I said, no, you should not be moderate. You should go for it. You should go for what you want. And for many, many years, I went, ah, Aristotle, what was that all about? So I just Googled it. Aristotle believed that moderation was a moral virtue that could lead to external happiness. He saw moderation as a way of achieving balance between extremes and avoiding both excess and deficiency. And now here we are X years later, and now I understand what Aristotle was talking about. I don't think you should be all in or all out. I think you need a portion, even in retirement, in the stock market, diversified, S&P 500 index fund is fine, to keep you not only even with inflation, but historically always slightly ahead of inflation. Never been a 20-year period where it failed to beat inflation on average. So you do need stocks, but you do need chicken money. And lo, I have become Aristotelian in my old age. Enough about stocks.
Imagine that, Terry Savage quoting Aristotle right here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. But you know,
I'll never get another chance to
I remember
that.
When 10,000 was a threshold, people just couldn't imagine. And then 20, 30, we're on the threshold of 40,000. And yet, as we sit here in the 39s, I think, I don't know if I'll ever live to see 50,000. But I guess
Let's ask Dr. Bob. We need to get Dr. Bob back because remember, he was talking about
401k.
Okay, so
40,100. But he thought that was going to happen at the end of 22.
He did, but you know, directionally, he's been correct. I have to call Dr. Bob. We'll get him back on the next few weeks.
Terry, that's just a quick look at the markets and how they're trending. You also had a column that said Social Security Commissioner steps up. What were you writing about there?
Oh, my goodness. We have some great news. And in fact, it wasn't even made public. Yesterday, I was given another one of those inside briefings by the people that are advising the commissioner. And during that briefing, the commissioner sent out, and I was shown a copy of, a letter he sent to all Social Security employees saying, you know what, effective today, which was yesterday, Monday, instead of taking all of a person's Social Security benefit to recover an overpayment, we are changing the default overpayment withholding to 10% or $10, whichever is greater. It's probably going to be 10% of a person's total monthly benefit. So all these people that got emails saying pay up $35,812 immediately or your benefits will be stopped, and many of them were stopped, now, and this is really critical, can go back to Social Security. Let me tell you why. Because he wrote to his employees there, we're developing the system's updates so that our system pretty soon will automatically use this 10%, you know, this is what we're going to withhold. But for now, since the systems continue to withhold 100% of your benefit to recover an overpayment, he says to his employees, I'm relying on you, our frontline staff, to manually adjust the withholding for beneficiaries who request a lower rate. So he's instructing the staff at Social Security that if you call in and your money, your benefits have been cut to zero, I mean, we're talking again with 60 Minutes, I'm sure they're going to do an update. We're talking with a lot of people, Larry Kotlikoff and I. We're taping a podcast this afternoon. We'll get it linked up at terrysavage.com. The fact is you need to call Social Security. Tell your friends, those who have had their benefits suspended or hugely reduced because of a clawback.
Because of overpayment. Now they're clawing
their mistakes.
The money back.
Yep. Remember, this is always about their initial overpayment mistakes, and they could go back 40 years. We hope that they'll have a statute of limitations and some other things. But there's two key things to this. Number one, you must call Social Security and ask for the 10% adjustment. So if they've cut your benefits more than 10% or taken away your benefits, Social Security 800-772-1213. And the commissioner, by the way, has already gotten wait times down. The other big thing the commissioner said in this internal memo is that, and also in testimony to Congress, that if the agency cannot prove if you say, wait a minute, what's this all about? And they cannot come up with the facts to prove that they're right and that they have the, because they never gave anybody paperwork. It's a legal failure of due process. You owe us $35,812. Show me. They couldn't. But they said, but we're Social Security. Pay us or we're going to stop your benefits. Now, according to the new commissioner, if they cannot prove, the burden of proof for a clawback is no longer on you, the beneficiary, but on the agency itself.
That makes sense.
This is a huge change. Thank you, Commissioner Martin O'Malley, I think he was former mayor of Baltimore, for literally cutting through the bureaucratic mess.
Well,
making
thank you, Terry Savage
changes.
And Larry Kutlikoff. We're going to pause here,
okay.
And then we'll take some calls, your questions, your texts, and your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Terry, before we go back to our calls and text messages, anything else you want to make sure we hear from you?
No, I just, all things moderation in the stock market. Yeah, John, you were right when you said, but shouldn't people check now because the market's gone up so much? Yes, check your exposure to stocks, number one. Number two, again, I want to reiterate, go to terrysavage.com. Look at the top article called The Social Security Commissioner Steps Up. It tells you that if you or someone you know had their benefits cut or eliminated or cut drastically, you need to call Social Security right now. And the magic word, it sounds like you're applying for a discount on some service, is 10%. They will only cut 10% of what they determine your correct benefit is, no more. So for those of you who have been suddenly living without anything and scrambling, today's the day. Immediately call. Wait online. Just keep waiting. Keep calling. 800-772-1213.
800-772-1213. 800-772-1213. That's the phone number for Social Security. And so if you were getting $1,000 a month and now they've cut you off because they said, we overpaid you, we're clawing back until we get all of our money, now they're only going to take they're going to give you 900. They're only going to take 100 of 1,000.
Bit more complicated in some cases. They say, you're getting $1,500 a month, but we overpaid you $500 a month for 9 years, so we want thousands back because we forgot to consider that you got a teacher's pension, for example. And that's legit. That's their mistake. We hope they'll limit the statute of limitations, but they will take you back to what they think is a correct, $1,000, and only take 10% of that. So you'd at least get $900. You could at least get your Medicare payments deducted, which you know, you don't have when they take your whole check. So we're getting somewhere. We are really getting somewhere. You have no idea how excited I am.
Marianne, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. Hi, Marianne. What can we do for you?
Hi, John. I've got a question about my husband's 401k plan that's managed through his employer. This year I learned, sadly, when I was doing the taxes, that this company, for the first time, did not take any federal tax out of his a required minimum distribution. Now, for about 15 years, we've been getting this 10%, you know, going to the for our taxes. And when I did the taxes and that had not, we owed, you know, in the thousands of dollars legitimately, but with no warning. And them telling me now that we can't do that anymore, that the IRS has changed the rules and we have to fill out W-4P.
Okay, stop right there, Marianne. First of all, and I've talked about this a lot. In fact, if you go to terrysavage.com, you'll and put in the column search box right there on the top, search the columns, put the word rollover. You will see a column I wrote about over a year ago saying rollover now. When you retire, you absolutely, in 90% of the cases, should do a rollover unless they have some great investments within your old 401k plan. It makes it much easier to calculate and get RMDs, and there are more conservative investment options, and it shows you how to roll directly to Fidelity or Vanguard, and you don't need anyone to help you do that. Now, you're in a bind because I take it you're going to owe money at tax time, and you cannot
I did it already.
You should be contacting your company now. You can't do a rollover in a year until you've taken your RMD. But since they don't take RMDs out, you should read that column and see if you can immediately do the rollover directly to Fidelity or Vanguard, and then start. Then here, if you don't have enough money, You can have them withhold more than 10 or 20% in taxes from your RMD. You could have them withhold 50% for the year ahead. But roll the money to a new custodian. I'm sure they'll let you do that because they're not withholding until rollovers. They'll be caught in a double bind if they do that.
Did the IRS change that? It's just a one-time
thing? No, I've never heard
that,
but each company can set its own rules. The HR department, and it's a good reason why when you retire, especially when it comes time for RMDs, you should roll over the entire 401k.
It triggered a penalty and it triggered a
absolutely.
Anyway,
and they should you have no leverage. He doesn't work there anymore. If you want to send me an email or post on my blog, I'll be able to call him up and give him help. But they're not going to give you your money back for the penalty. They'll probably say, "Oh, no. We sort of said that." You know?
All right, Marianne. Yeah. Well, good luck to you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for alerting others. That's an interesting call. Hey, Terry Savage, should I keep my Starbucks stock? I'm worried about this union stuff.
Oh, that's an interesting reason. As long as you're drinking Starbucks, I think you should keep the stock. Now, of course, they're hit in an economic slowdown. Gosh, I have the same thing every time, and the prices are amazing. I don't go to Starbucks as frequently. That's one of the things they're suffering from. But I don't think the union issue, I mean, goodness gracious, you buy cars and there's unions for autos.
All right.
It might
How about
squeeze
this?
Their profits a little bit if they pay more in benefits. But they've notoriously been a very good paying company.
630 said, is it better to take Social Security earlier after full retirement, say at 67 or 68, and invest that income?
No.
I'm going to finish this question.
No.
Because they're going to tell you why they are thinking to do this. And invest the income for 2 or 3 years instead of waiting until I'm 70 to apply for SS, because it looks like you would need at least 10 years to break even.
No. Okay, either believe me or don't believe me and do it your way.
If you were going to die at 72, you'd be better off taking it at 67.
Oh, okay. But only God knows that for sure. Here's the point. Number one, for every year you wait, you get an 8% increase in your basic check. So that down the road, if you wait till 70, and you don't wait any longer after that because you don't get any more. If you wait till 70, you have a higher base check on which future inflation adjustments will be made. And the whole point of Social Security, it's your only inflation-adjusted retirement benefit. Your pension isn't. So what you're doing is saying, not, I think I'll live till 72 or 87, which is the actuarial age, more or less, for people. You're saying, what if I'm freakily, amazingly live to be 97, I will at least have an inflation-adjusted larger benefit. You don't want to plan for the best case, which is that you get higher benefits for 3 years and then drop dead. You want to plan for the worst case, that you live longer, and then you'll have a higher benefit.
You need the money. All right, I'm going to read the next one, Terry. It says, just finished talking to my financial advisor. I'm 72. My annuity can be turned into getting $350 a month guaranteed for 10 years, or life, whichever is greater. Or I can take $56,000 at once. My mother passed away at 62. My sister's at 55. My dad died at 40. I don't have a large savings account. What should I do?
Are you going to break or do you want the answer now?
I've got 48 seconds. Go.
Okay. Go to immediateannuities.com and put in the $57,000 or whatever it was, and see what they could get you from various insurance companies for 10-year certain or life. And see if, number one, that monthly payment is correct. Number two, I don't play God. You pay your money and you take your choices. You will name a beneficiary for 10 years certain. So if you die in 3 years, your kid will get the balance. But in almost every case, unless you think you have a very short-term lifespan, you're better off investing the money conservatively over the long run, I would say.
TerrySavage.com is her website. And what's the one that you just mentioned about annuities?
Oh, to find out if they're giving you a fair price.
Yeah.
I have $57,000. What could I get for 10 years certain plus life?
Yeah.
You go to immediateannuities.com, and there's a calculator where you live, what your age is, and whether you're a man or a woman. And it'll say these five insurance companies, highly rated, will give you this, 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 or this.
Okay, 312-981-7200. More of your texts and phone calls with Terry. First, let's get you more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Blummer Chocolate is laying off 226 workers starting in May. The move comes after the company announced the closure of its Chicago plant. The number of layoffs could eventually be 250, according to a filing with the state of Illinois. Blummer has about 900 employees and will keep its headquarters in Chicago, despite closure of the plant at 600 West Kinzie. The company says the closure is necessary because of the plant's age and location. Plans for the site haven't been disclosed. Blummer will move production to three other plants in Pennsylvania, California, and Canada. Advocate Healthcare will open a new ambulatory surgical treatment center and outpatient medical office in Naperville. It'll have a cardiovascular focus. Cranes reports the facility will be located at 835 Freedom Drive. The $52 million facility is expected to open in May of 2026, expanding Advocate care options to the western suburbs. The center will serve Naperville, Lombard, Wheaton, Woodridge, Bolingbrook, and other nearby communities. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And we hear a lot about the Irish exit, where you leave a gathering without saying goodbye. This is not that. This is the long goodbye.
I just felt like that would be the best way to kind of do it. It's almost like a little farewell tour, I guess.
Who he is and where in Chicago this long goodbye is happening, after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Here's a guy who broke some hearts a while back.
Yes, and I still hear from people.
That is Darnell Reed, the chef and owner of Luella's Southern Kitchen in Lincoln Square, named after his grandmother, by the way, who came to Chicago from Mississippi in the 40s.
Actually, so we opened February 2015. She passed away in October of that year. She was 91.
How did she feel about having the restaurant named after her?
Oh, she was excited. She was honored.
Luella's is jammed every weekend for brunch. People looking for a comfort food like buttermilk fried chicken and shrimp and grits and catfish.
Our brunch crowd is like amazing.
But 9 years later,
I have two daughters. I have a 5-year-old and a 9-year-old.
And working the dinner shift every weeknight
can get me home close to midnight, sometimes a little bit later.
To find that work-life balance, he would have to stop doing dinners on weekdays.
But when we first opened, we used to open for lunch, and our lunch crowd kind of went away. So I just thought, hey, if I'm going to do brunch, I don't think I can draw people to come out during the week. I can get them on the weekend, but during the week, we're going to struggle.
And this is where that long goodbye comes in. Luella's is closing in October.
When we celebrate our 9th anniversary, then we'll let people know that it'll be our last year.
No official closing date yet, but sometime before November 1st, because that's when the space has to be empty and cleaned up. So, do you know where you're going to move, Darnell?
Not 100% yet. I have interest in South Loop. I have interest in Logan Square. I think the important thing is a neighborhood that's probably already showing that they support lunch or brunch.
Luella's Southern Kitchen in Lincoln Square with a long goodbye. On the food calendar, today's National Spanish Paella Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry, before we go back to calls and texts, anything else you want to get in here?
Let's take the calls.
Hey, Terry, what's a good retirement income per month? What dollar amount should I plan on having?
25% more than your income now, because you're going to spend it in different ways, especially on medical expenses, despite having Medicare and a supplement.
Wait a minute. 25% more than my income now should be my retirement?
Exactly.
How am I going to do that? I'm not making money when I retire.
You are. If a portion of your money's in the stock market, you hope you are. Look, I was being facetious.
Thank you.
There is no formula for this. I'm going to send you immediately to the perfect moment to face up to this question of, do I have enough money to retire? That's the one number. I wrote a book years ago called The Savage Number. How much money do you need to retire? But the next question is, how are you going to generate income? This caller focused on the critical thing. How do I generate income so I can pay my bills and travel a little bit and pay my healthcare expenses that might be uninsured? And that requires a complex, multidimensional plan. Go to wealthramp.com, WEALTHRAMP.com. There's a link on my website. I get nothing out of this. Pam, my good buddy now, Pam Kruger, matches you up. You know her from PBS, by the way. Pam Kruger, if that's a name you know. She matches you up with fee-only, fiduciary, certified financial planners who are not there trying to sell you something. They'll help you get organized. Your number is different than everyone else's number. Not the number of what you need, but the number of the income you can generate to live.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, Tom Fortino is a sponsor here and a frequent guest. He hosts a show on Sundays, and he always says that. He says, don't think about your nest egg. Think about the income that it will generate, because you don't know how long you're going to live, and you need something to still be turning out cash. He also, you know, wants you to contemplate the tax consequences of the money you take and when and how you take it. Which are
That's why you need a plan.
Critical concerns. How about you, Dan? You're on WGN with Terry Savage. What can we do for you?
Hi, my question is about Medicare. I'm turning 65 end of June, and I've been looking into this process, and it's very overwhelming and it's frying my brain.
Let me ask you a quick question.
No, for somebody who's healthy and I only get a physical once a year, what plan should I look into, or where do I start?
Okay, Dan, I'll tell you exactly. So listen closely. Number one, are you still working and covered by insurance at work?
I'm semi-retired. I sold my business 3 years ago.
Do you have insurance from work?
I do not. I'm with my wife right now, but she pays $440 a month for me.
Well, guess what? That's probably going to still look like a bargain. So when you're 65, sign up for Medicare Part A. Then ask your wife's company if, now that her spouse is 65, they will still cover him on the company plan. If not, and that may be the case, you go to Medicare.gov. The first thing you look for is a supplement. It's very easy to find. You want Plan G for great. The plans are numbered by letters. The coverage, the best coverage available now is Plan G, and three or four different insurers will offer that. And you can choose a Medicare supplement just based on the ratings, people saying they're very helpful and so forth. They should be all the same. That's your supplement. Then while you're on Medicare.gov, you sign up for Part D for drugs, even though you're not taking anything more than Tylenol. You have to start when you start Medicare. Your time to do this is the month before you turn 65, so you can get it in effect if you're going to lose coverage under your wife's plan, or if they require you to have Medicare Part B, and then they will cover it after Part B and the supplement.
Very good. That's a good start. Thank you.
Okay. Medicare.gov is, you can trust them, and you can sign up directly there. You don't need an insurance broker to do this.
Dan, if that was a lot of information and your head is still spinning a little bit, or do anybody else that needs any information you just heard, later today, go to WGNradio.com. We podcast this entire segment so you can play it back and take your notes as you go. It's on the John Williams page. You can also look on our podcast page, and you'll find our conversations with Terry.
And it's linked at TerrySavage.com under WGN Radio.
How about them apples? All right, Terry, yep. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for your help.